We worship Him and just sing out our praises to Him. And another praise is right now downstairs in Miss Christine's class. They're celebrating the 100th lesson that Miss Christine has taught. So give Miss Christine a... Now, it's incredible. Like 3 years ago, this got a knock on the door, and this lady came bringing Christine to our house. And she was struggling in little things of the world, right? And presented Jesus to her at the kitchen table. She gave her her life to the Lord. And she started coming here and being fed. And then she had a volunteer to step up and teach. And, you know, you think growing in Christ by teaching 100 lessons? Do you think she's got some biblical knowledge now? Huh? You know? It's amazing how God works. You know, when we just say yes, we step out in faith and go, you know, I had no idea about this, but here we go. So it's a fantastic, fantastic thing. All right, let's pray. Father, I just pray that today's word in 1 Corinthians touches our hearts. And Lord, that we open our minds and our eyes to your truths. Because this word is so precious. It's living, it's active, it's breathing, and it changes people's lives. And Lord, I pray that you give us all a desire and a thirst and a hunger for your word. We don't need to continue on to be babes in Christ. We want to be mature believers. We'll be ready in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus. And Lord, show us, teach us, change us. There's so much for us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. When we go to a restaurant, we try and get a balanced diet. Some of us, well, we'll just go to the we're carnivores. We want to just go and get right. Give me some ribs and some chicken and some steak, right? What are those green things? I don't like those. What are that? But we need to have, in spiritual life, we need to have a balanced diet living. Because there's two kinds of people in this world. When you come right down to it, there's lost or there's saved. There's called, it's called where there's natural people or spiritual people. And there's two kinds of realms we can live in. We can act in either the world or we can act in the spiritual realm. And the world word tells us there's a couple of kind of believers. There's maturing or not growing. There's people that are passionate about their walk or they're apathetic. But what matters in us and in our growth is that we spend time with each other, we spend time in His Word, because we're all part of His family. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, or another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? The church in Corinth it existed for about 18 months, and Paul was teaching them, and he kind of wrote this letter back to them to say, you know what, guess what, you guys are still being carnal. You're still being babes in Christ. A mature believer allows the Spirit to teach and direct them by feeding on His Word. And an immature believer continues to live in the world and in the flesh. Because carnal literally means flesh. An example could be you're more interested in the latest fashion trends, or the latest styles, or more intent on the latest gadgets that you have, or the more intense, more, or the new movies, or the latest Hollywood stars, or the new dance craze, rather than spiritual things. Because everything you go through, as Ecclesiastes says, is meaningless. It really is, right? Think of blue jeans. Do you think of blue jeans? So the fashion you wear, right? You can go down to Costco and get your $12 pair of jeans and just be perfectly fine, but some of us want to go and get the $250 pair of jeans, that sort of thing, right? Or can you remember way back in the 70s? I know some of you young people are going to go, oh, that was a crazy era. where you had the flares. You even put the bell bottoms, you sewed them up the side, so you had the wide leg jeans. What was that all about? Just catching in your chain when you're riding your bike. That's all it was, wiping you out. But we are to grow spiritually, and what happens is there's too much other stuff going on in our lives, right? That we easily get distracted by the enemy on the most important things we can do. Most important things we can do, dig into His Word. We have basically 52 Sundays. Yeah, okay, 52 Sundays. Got it. Thank you, Matt. In a church, right? We spend maybe an hour and a half at church. And we spend more time in our car going back and forth to work, don't we? Fighting the traffic, getting cut off. Got a call from a brother who said, oh man, I just got home. It took me an hour and a half. I left from work. That's just one way. Of course, we have so many tools now. We can be listening to the radio and listening to all sorts of different pastors speaking. We can be listening to praise music. You know, why don't you set your dial to those stations and then turn the tuner off, right? Listen to them. We also don't spend enough time and depth pondering and wondering about the words of God. And men, if you haven't been to a men's breakfast, come to a men's breakfast. We're getting into the deep things of God. We're talking about it. And we want to help you to become the leaders you are called to be, to train up and to teach your families and to know the basics of theology, you know? Because theology is basically the study of God and the deep things in His Word and how it just comes alive. And we ponder, otherwise, we can go through and read the Bible. And hopefully you've all read the Bible. A lot of times I call it, like when I teach my third graders, it's called just word calling. We read the words and we keep on going and re-going and pass this big word and we go, what does that mean? We don't stop to think about it, to ponder about it, to wonder about it. And then we are wondered, amazed at why we are so easily led astray. So I want to do something different, a little different this morning. We get into a practical practice. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes 11. And we're going to spend some time just kind of breaking apart this little passage, Ecclesiastes 11 and 7. Okay? Ecclesiastes 11 and 7. And we're going to just... Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. And 11 and 7. 2, 10. And we're going to take some time just to go through and try to lead you by example of how to just spend time and be still and know that He is God. All right, let's just read it first, Ecclesiastes 11 and 7 and 10. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. For they will be many, and that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. So when you read that, at the first glance, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Think about it. First thing that I got out of there, and I read it, it says, He rejoices in them all. Life is precious. Rejoice in life. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, it's pleasant for his eyes to behold the sun. Today the light is sweet. Rejoice. Rejoice. Life is amazing. Every moment is amazing. Everything that happens to you is all God planned. It's amazing. And when we get our eyes off of Him and off the Lord, we get our eyes focused on our problems or our stresses or what's going on in the world. We are to enjoy the things of the Lord. And so that we says rejoice in them all. And we think about it. And then another thing that came to my mind as we just Think it's not just a moment, but think of the long road that we as believers are going to live. As believers, you're going to live it for eternity in heaven. You ever thought and pondered how long eternity is? How long is eternity? It's amazing. Let's think of it this. How long will it take us to pay off our national debt? Well, if we prayed for a miracle and said, oh, federal government, let's not spend money for the next year, and everyone just paid their taxes, that we could pay it off in a year. But that's not going to happen. I looked this up. There's actually something on the website that said this. If we're at $16, maybe $17 trillion in debt, if you were a spender and you like to spend and shop, you would have to spend $5 million a day for the next 534 years to pay off the $17 trillion debt. That is incredible. Now let's think about this. Another thing I thought about was, how big is our galaxy? Eternity, right? We have the Milky Way galaxy. It's a spiral galaxy, kind of like a cinema roll. To get from one side of the galaxy to the other side of the galaxy, just the Milky Way galaxy, just one of the many billions of galaxies in the universe, it would take 99,000 years traveling at the speed of light. Amazing, right? And then I looked at the shelf life of fireballs and gobstoppers. It said indefinite. Indefinite. And think about that, right? We actually, children eat these. Okay? That's crazy. But then I thought, then it goes on, you know, this way my mind works. It goes back to, oh, think about the incredible, amazing stomach that God has designed us with, right? We have acid in there that will burn through this floor, but it's just to digest things and all that kind of stuff. And we have a lining in our stomach that protects us from that acid. Incredible, incredible. Stopping to think about what the passages say and where the Lord and Spirit is leading you, right? Think about the view of eternity, right? And then in 9, you know, rejoice, young man, with your youth, and let your heart cheer you with the days of your youth. The older you get, don't you think about, ponder and wonder about being a kid? Think about that, right? The age of innocence, where you just, what are we doing today? Let's go build the fort, right? I wonder if this cashew can stick up my nose, things like that. Crazy stuff that guys do, or girls do, right? Let's go build a house and play dolls and use our imaginations. The age of innocence, right? Remember, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you with the days of your youth. You think about your youth and the wonderful things that you do. Could each season we go through and what's going on. And the Bible is also telling us here is what you do as a youth does matter. Choices that you make as a youth does matter. And as a youth, there's so many choices you have to make. Who am I going to marry? What college am I going to? What career am I going to have? I want to go on this path. My parents go on this path. Once they go on this path, oh man, should I go out and do this? Oh, that mistake I made, I'm going to beat myself up over that. Right? What choices you make does matter. And he says, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. Banish anxiety, stress, and worry. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Truly, allow Him to work. And then he comes to the conclusion of the matter where childhood and youth are vanity. Because it's fleeting and life continues on. We got about 80 years. How are we living each day? How are we living each moment? Are we living for the Lord? Are we living to satisfy our flesh? As a youth, I can remember I could ride my bike everywhere. I'd have a bike. Didn't have a car. You know? Just ride down, play soccer, ride back home, up the hill, go back down. Hey, guys, we're going to do something else. Ride everywhere. Play soccer in good shape. Now, gets about 8:30. What are you doing? Chair's back, mouth hanging open, drooling. You're sleeping, right? Think about it. It really goes. It does. It's vanity. Vanity, it means meaningless, empty.
Slow down. Think about it. Think about what the words say. Ponder it. Okay? Because you never know what's going to happen to you in life.
Literally, you've heard it before. Literally, you could be going to work, get hit by a car.
Or something else, some other tragedy could happen, or sickness. But the Bible tells us, whether it's youth or middle age or old age, we are to rejoice in every season in life. You know? There's no hole deeper that the Christ isn't there with you. There's no deep holes for the teenage troubles or the midlife crisis or being crotchety in your old age. Jesus said, I have come that you have life and life more abundantly.
So let's think how we are living for Christ. How we treat people. How we talk to each other. How we treat our spouse. Are we joyful? Are we gracious? Are we thankful? Or let's think about this. When's the last time that you really had one of those guffaw deep belly laughs where you laugh so hard that you're crying? Jesus is serious about us. He's so serious He died for us and for our sins. He's so serious He loves us completely for our salvation and for our lives. He's serious about our sin. But He's also joyful about us. He delights in us, in our lives. Think about how He talked to Matthew and how He talked to John. He said, come, follow me. And immediately dropped their nets and followed Him. And in our lives, we can go through, come, follow me. We go, yeah, I'll follow you so far, but I've got this other thing to do. I'll follow you so far, but... No buts. Come, follow me. Follow Jesus completely, wholeheartedly. He is Lord. He is God. And wow, when we do that, that is amazing. And it looks like fun. Is there joy in your life? Do you have an abundant life living and looking for eternal things? You can do that by spending time with Him and allowing Him to fill you up and allowing Him to think about it. Okay? It's amazing. Back to the lifespan thing. In the 1900s, people would live to about 44 years old. In the 1940s, the lifespan added to about more because of health and because of better food, with 63. And in 1980, the average is between 75 and 80. And it's amazing. There are 12,000 Americans that are over the age of 100. But you know what? They're still all going to die. True? Right? We're born once to die, and so where are you going to spend eternity? And what are you living for? Isn't it? The day you're born, you're dying. So what are we doing? Okay? Oh, sometimes we worry about it. Just lately, you know, I get to that point in my career where you go get to a certain point where you go, okay, I've got 3 years left, and then I can get retirement and all that kind of stuff, you know? What am I thinking about? Craziness. It is. Live each moment, live each day for Christ. Rather than going, oh, if I do this and this and this and put my ducks in a row and all that kind of stuff. Because I need to get my, that's when I get my eyes off of Christ and on my eyes onto my own way and how to plan it out. So, because in comparison to eternity, all that comes to you is empty. Vanity, emptiness, something unsatisfactory. Okay? In Ecclesiastes, he says, again, I want to point out another thing that came to me is, rejoice, young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. I think young people today have so much pressure on them. It is amazing that we put so much pressure on them. We take life so seriously. You have to get these grades to get the scholarship to go to the right college. And by the way, everybody is supposed to go to the right college. Because if you don't go to the right college, you end up working at the Scottish food place for the rest of your life. More fries, right? Okay? What's wrong with that? Doesn't matter. Okay? We have to get the right scores. There's also pressure and all sorts of things, other things like relationships. You're supposed to have the right boyfriend. You're supposed to have the right girlfriend. Why don't you have a boyfriend? Why do you have a girlfriend? Have you done this? Have you done that? Ooh, don't. Knock it off, right? God has someone planned out for you. And you're so careful not to make a mistake, right? As a youth, with so much pressure on them, I messed up. I made a mistake. Right?
Well, youth, that's what you're supposed to be doing, aren't you? Kind of going, oh, figuring life out, and you make a mistake, you're forgiven, you move on, that kind of things. And I think what we've done in our culture, because it's come so far top down, what you're supposed to learn in high school is now taught in middle school. What you're supposed to learn in middle school is now taught in elementary school. And so you go to preschool, so you're supposed to be able to read by the end of first grade. What happened to naps and snack time? Can't we have that? We take away the wonder of the youth, where innocence is lost through what we watch on TV or what they read. The third graders know more about the birds and the bees than I ever did when I was 20 years old, right? It's incredible. It's the rude, the indecency, the pressure, the pushing through video games and movies and what were you, the value you were taught. Our culture is where everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. Everyone. It's loud, it's rude, it's cutthroat. And you walk and see people, there's no joy in the world. But as believers, we know we have the joy and the answer. It's Jesus Christ. And so why are we so quiet about it? I don't get that. And so we have to balance out the pressure of the world on our children. And as believers, in your families, I pray that you spend time going, you know what? We're going to shut off the TV. We're going to take this and set it down way over here. Or better yet, we're going to drive up to the mountain so there's no cell phone. You can't get contact with me. And we're going to sit down. And we're going to have some tea or cookies, and we're going to look each other in the eye and communicate and talk. This is not communicating. Can I tell you that? It's rude. Hi, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Right? Shut the TV off, shut whatever's off, shut the video games off. Spend some time with your children. When's the last time you played cards? When's the last time you played cribbage? When's the last time you played checkers? When's the last time you intensely, as a family, said, you know what? We're not doing anything but hanging out with each other and talking to each other. Really? What do you really think about this passage? What do you really think about what Pastor Jen said? What do you think about this? I think he's full of whatever. Okay? Right? Okay? It's a challenge to shut it off because we so are indoctrinated with so much technology and so much stuff coming into our lives. But we need to make sure that we have some fun. Two, rejoice in our youth and rejoice in the seasons of our life. Now, on the other hand, youth, we want to grow up, and everybody. In Corinthians, Paul is telling a church in Corinth to grow up, to mature. We don't want to have to look after you when you're 34 years old and you're living in our basement and you're asking, Mommy, I can't find my socks, okay? We want to be able to grow up too. All right, so back to 1 Corinthians. Hopefully we took that apart where you spent time thinking and pondering and slowing down and wondering what the passage was about. Back in 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 3. And Paul is addressing the Corinthians to be mature. And what is it? What does it mean to be mature and to eat the meat, the solid food, not just the milk? I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until you are not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're carnal. Paul's telling that we need to mature to grow up. And so what is one way that we can grow up spiritually? Well, it's your diet. One thing is our diet. Okay? I still have cravings for potato chips. It's my weakness. Something about the salt and the crunch. You know, it's not good for me, right? It isn't. Or some of you guys still have cravings for that. There's nothing better on a cold day than a barbarian cream-filled chocolate-covered donut. Right? Can I get an amen? No. Right? But we learn to grow through the stages of food. You think of the Gerber, right? Here's stage one. Oh, great. Then stage two and stage three and stage four, and you're growing and you kind of learn to eat the solid food, right? We grow from milk to solid food. So what are you eating? Well, your appetite. The Word of God is spiritual food, and we learn the deep things from God when we move forward, and we have Jesus from Jesus loves me, this I know, two basic biblical doctrines that we need to know. Okay? But we have to have that balanced diet, because we still have to present the gospel to people and know that Jesus loves them and tell them all about Jesus. Otherwise, it turns out to be indigestion. So we need to study the word seriously, and we start developing our muscles, and we get hungrier for the word of God, and we have the foundations of basic biblical doctrines. Like, could you explain truly what repentance is? Could you truly explain what baptism is? Could you tell someone what it means to walk by faith? Could you explain what the spiritual gifts are? Could you understand what eternal judgment is? Could you explain who is Jesus? Could you understand how we got the Bible? Could you understand what really it means by walking by the Spirit? You can look those up in Hebrews. And Hebrews, the author of Hebrews tells us some basic things that we're to learn. But I want to tell you, we've got to keep it all so simple as possible. Because sometimes we can get so smart that people don't understand us. Simple as possible. When you take one step, what walking in faith is, when you take one step of faith, the Lord says, I'll take one step further with you. And I'll be with you. And whatever you walk and whatever you do, I'll be with you. The thing is, in our lives, we want to do things our own way without really obeying the Lord. So stop ignoring the Lord, and He will guide and direct your path. Otherwise, what He does, He's not going to overload you with more instructions. He's not going to overload you with just all sorts of things, because you keep ignoring that tug and that call and what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. He just says, I'll keep you on this milk diet. When is the last time you did what the Lord called you to do? I cannot say are if I live only for myself. I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like His child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I'm laying up no treasure there. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I'm not striving for holiness. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I'm not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful event. I cannot say thy will be done if I am disobedient to His word. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven if I do not serve Him here and now. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread if I am dishonest. I cannot say forgive us our debts if I harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in temptation's path. I cannot say deliver us from evil if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say, thy kingdom come, if I do not give the king the loyalty due to him from a faithful subject. And I cannot attribute to him the power if I fear what men may do. And I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I seeking honor only for myself. And I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time. Problem with the Corinthian church was it was a carnal church. There was immaturity. There was confusion. There was people following, saying, I follow Paul. Some people saying, I follow Apollos. And in the church, what we do is we follow the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His church. We are His people. Everything belongs to Him. We follow Jesus, His church, the Lord. And so we are to mature. And as we mature, some signs, I'm going to close with some signs of a mature believer. A mature believer will teach others rather than being taught. A mature believer will have a deeper understanding, and they will think of things of the Lord. It's kind of like the electricity. You turn on the light, I have no concept of electricity. I know that if I turn the light, by faith it's going to turn on. I know it's going to turn off. But I don't know still the how it all works. Some of you guys know. Praise the Lord for that. But that we think of the deeper things rather than the basic Christian doctrines. We seek unity. We don't and get rid of our pride rather than being critical or complaining. We have confidence in Jesus and what He's doing in our life rather than fear and anxiety. We have active faith where we are serving and caring and loving each other rather than going through the routine or the rut. And we have a biblical worldview, where situations, where life is evaluated through the truth of this word. the truth of this living God, Bible, rather than being led by feelings. The church at Corinth was stunted in their spiritual growth. Unless we may come to church, we might be once in a whileers, we might be come to church on Sunday, we worship, we might even give, but on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or the rest of the week or after, even just shortly after this is done, we're out living for the world. Right? It's kind of like, I'll do a coach analogy, we're just sitting on the bench and we're not getting into the game. But we have to remember whose team we're on. We belong to Jesus. He's your coach. We do what he says. And then, when you really think about it, we practice on our own. In Mark 4, 26 through 29, we'll just flip with me to there. There's a parable that's only found in Mark. And Mark tells us, in this parable, Jesus tells us in the parable, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 4, 26 to 29. There is a mysterious effect of being mature in Christ by studying God's Word. Mark 4, 26 through 29. The parable of the growing seed. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Growth comes through spending time with Jesus in his Word, through Bible study. The world thinks this, or the non-believing world, thinks it's crazy for us to trust in something that was written 2,000 years ago just by mere men. We know it was inspired Word of God. God breathed. And when we spend time with him, just like the plant that grows up and produces fruit, when we spend time in his Word, it miraculously changes us. And when we study the Word together on Wednesdays and Sundays faithfully, or on Thursdays and with our family and daily in our quiet time, something miraculously happens and we mature and we begin to look at life differently. And we begin to look at life differently, we produce good fruit and we grow. And it's a lifelong process. And we have a long way to go, but the process has begun in each one of you. Because he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Father, your Word is truth. Your Word changes us. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us will really think and ponder what a great gift we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, in our salvation. Lord, we don't want to ever take that for granted. For you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. And Lord Jesus, if there's someone here today that does not know you, I pray that right now is a day of their salvation. That they pray a prayer, a simple prayer. That they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, they can pray with their own words, but they can just follow what I say. Something simple as this. Say, Dear Lord, dear Jesus, I know that I have sinned. Lord, I trust in you and believe in you. And I give you my life. Lord, thank you for forgiving me and paying the debt for me. Lord, help me to follow you wholeheartedly and completely
Give me the desire to follow you and obey you. Lord, thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone who prayed that prayer, please come and see me after service. And if you want some prayer during the last song, if you want to come up and just stand up here and worship him, or stand up and pray, that's okay. Because we want to do what God tells us to do. We want to live completely for him. And I pray that as you leave this place, you have a deeper, more meaningful walk with our Lord.